Sports Talk. Injury List.
Yeah, Zach Fanieta, and you're in front of me. Thank you so much for making your way through. It's been crazy, especially from the derby, but a lot more to talk about. A lot more injuries extends past the derby. And I mean, you know, I opened up the content for tonight and I saw a gruesome picture, and I'm looking at it again. It is horrible. Andre Gomez.
That was last week. You remember during the show, we something happened.
Yes.
TV here.
Yes.
It was the Spurs-Everton game.
And we said you'd come back and give us a...
You actually said we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, yeah.
I was hoping we'd have some update while we were on air last week, but Unfortunately we didn't. So we didn't sort of see what happened at the stage. We missed the actual injury. I've watched it a couple of times. It's horrible. It's one of those... It actually wasn't malicious in any way. I think it was just one of those accidental... Oh. Yeah, he fell badly. Boots caught in the wrong place and all that kind of thing. Two players basically tackling him at the same time. Wasn't intentional. And we'll see the red card for Son from Spurs has been rescinded. So we were actually sitting here and the referee went across to him and
gave him the card. Yeah.
And the video assistant referee has been implicated in that. Who's been said he was the one who actually gave the red card, not the referee himself. The referee himself didn't think it was anything. Wasn't even a yellow card from his perspective, funny enough. Anyway, but going back to the injury itself, horrible one, circulating on Twitter and all over Google, all over the place. Big dislocation of the ankle, big fracture, surgery. Surgery's been done already. I think it was on Tuesday this week. Mm. And the latest is he's already started his rehab. So it's modern medical science for you.
Wow.
Is we start rehab in the hospital.
Wow.
Literally as you wake up, we start. So
yeah, we'll get you ready to get back to full fitness.
Yes, obviously the more time you spend out, the more time you off your feet as a professional athlete, that fitness and function just decays very, very quickly. So the idea is to get as mobile as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
They're saying now that you might actually make it back before the end of the season. I mean, a traditional leg break is about 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm.
These ones are normally around about 6 months or so, 4 to 6 months, depending on the nature of the break. If I look at that pic again, I'm thinking more like 6 to 8 months. But
yeah, it looks horrible.
It does. Time will tell. It also has an impact on Portugal as well. He's one of the mainstays at the moment of the Portuguese national team. For those of you who know your Barcelona teams, he's freshly from Barcelona, so
yeah,
top level player, to be honest. Sometimes I wonder why he's at Everton, sort of near the bottom of the English league. You know?
Yeah.
Good player. So, but they might be missing Cristiano as well. He's struggling a bit with hamstring and knee problems with Juventus, so hasn't been training fully, hasn't been playing full games either, so he might be pulled out of the Portugal squad. So it's quite a big blow for Portugal with quite critical qualifiers. They've had a lot of draws, particularly I think the first three games in their qualifying group were all draws. So they're a little bit off the pace in their qualifying group now. To miss players of the quality of Gomez and Ronaldo might be a bit of an issue. We'll see.
We know the Europeans like to make life difficult for themselves, though. Mm-hmm. He's not the only big name. Bale injured, but he was still called up by Ryan Giggs to the World Squad.
Is he injured?
Wow. Is he?
We spoke about it last week. You know, so his lawyers got involved. So the Real Madrid are not able to specify the injury to anyone, to the media or anything along those lines, but he's been called up to the Wales squad with his apparent injury. So time will tell. Let's see if he plays for Wales or not. That'll be interesting. Then how does he go back to Real Madrid and be injured again?
And he probably will be.
Anyway, and they're doing all right without him. So Hazard finally has come of age at Real Madrid. Had a stunner yesterday as they won 4-0, but didn't matter too much. Barcelona winning 4 as well. So very tight at the top of the league. And I think we're waiting for that the first El Clasico to
finally take place.
18th of December. It's about a month away. So
I can't believe a month away is the 18th of December, but that's a different story. Kyle Walker, some news on him.
Yeah, so if you watch the Champions League during the midweek, Man City basically ran out of goalkeepers during the game. Edison got injured quite early on. Claudio Bravo came on, managed to concede a goal, then get injured, and they had no goalkeepers left. So Kyle Walker, I don't know if he put his hand up or his hand was put up for him.
Yeah.
There's a nice pick of view of there.
Their
third choice keeper. So you only have two keepers on the bench for these games. So he had to come on and soldier on for about, I think it was 12 minutes or something like that. And he kept a clean sheet in his time at least.
Oh, there
and
you go.
He only fumbled one. Only fumbled one. He held on to, I think, two crosses as well, which was quite good. So.
Oh, he's a goalkeeper who's kept a clean sheet. Imagine that. Look, I know that sometimes these guys like to practice, you know, goalkeeping for the fun of it. And these things happen. Like Lucas Radebe was in goals not too long ago in during his Leeds career. It was actually against Manchester United. So it's happened.
In a cup final, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, a quick update, by the way, on the Liverpool versus Manchester City game. It's 91 minutes, 3-1 lead for Liverpool at the moment. Liverpool sitting pretty at the top of the table. Let's move over to Alex Morgan. She's a soccer sensation in the US especially.
Yeah, so she's pregnant. We'll have a child 3 months before the Olympics, and she stated that she will be back for the Olympics.
No way.
3 months or no 3 months. She will play in the Olympics. So anyway, let's see how that one
turns
out.
That's incredible. That really is incredible.
Difficult, because I mean, we'll take the likes of Serena,
yeah,
you know, who played the and won the Aussie Open while she was a couple of weeks pregnant,
yeah,
and then missed a whole chunk, had a whole lot of medical issues as well,
yeah,
and I think even now she's still struggling. I mean, she's been in three Grand Slam finals, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
hasn't won any of them. Unfortunately, hasn't quite got back to the level she's been at. So, I'm just wondering with Alex Morgan if that's maybe just a little bit beyond the reach of, well, look, medical science and, you know, and our sports meds and everything that we do, I don't really think it's possible. It's more like 6 to 9 months, to be dead honest, maybe even longer. So it's a long recovery period after childbirth. Of course, depending on if it's cesarean section or a natural childbirth, that does make a difference. But there's a lot of, you know, the body goes a lot during pregnancy. So particularly ligaments get quite lax and soft. It's part of the process, and that obviously extends to the knees and the ankles and the hips and all that kind of thing as well. So whether or not she's ready, we will see.
Now, somebody who wasn't ready when he came home from Japan was Andre Pollard, the darling of the Springboks. I mean, he scored, 20 of the 32 points? 22 of the 32 points in that final. And he's been enjoying the trophy parade from his bed. Well, I'm sure he's home now, but yeah.
Yeah, sadly, I mean, I saw it, I mean, during the game, end of the game, as the game ended, and he had this puffy eye and cheek, and I thought, no, he'd just taken a little bit of a knock to the eye, and it turned out he actually had a fractured cheekbone. So South Africa were the only ones on the wrong end of the physicality.
Yeah,
you've read all the media since they came, and English complaints about this and that. And all this. But it was a very physical game.
Yeah.
So fractured cheekbone, had to have surgery, and sadly has missed the trophy tour. So he's not on the trophy tour. So if you look at all the pics, you'll see Beast, you'll see the captain, you'll see everyone. Just not... the man who scored all the points, a whole pile of points for us.
Most of them. But very sad. I mean, I'd have loved to see him on the trophy tour, but no doubt people are still sending him a lot of love, which is really, really good to see. So let's move over to tennis. We're all waiting for the day Novak, Rafa, and Roger...
Don't win it.
...say they're retiring. We don't want that to happen.
Of course not.
But it's going to happen.
Look, it's inevitable. I mean, you look at the number of injuries. I mean, all three of them in the last 2 years have had quite significant injuries and surgery. Add Andy Murray to that mix as well.
Yeah.
He's had his hip resurfacing surgery as well. So that sort of big four, sort of, I wouldn't say on their last legs, but they must be getting there. Surely, you know, we keep saying, where are the youngsters? We're the next generation.
Yeah.
So ATP finals are on at the moment. So it's your top eight. Obviously, the big three are there. Andy Murray, sadly, with his long injury, left, did not make the top eight in the ATP ranking, so he's not competing. But the likes of Zverev and Dominic Thiem, etc. Let's see how they go. Stefano Tsitsipas, etc. Those guys are all playing in that tournament. Let's see if someone else actually steps up and someone else wins the Aussie Open for a while. It's been a long time. The last person not of the big three was Stan Wawrinka about, 2.5 years ago. Won the French Open, was the last non-Big Three player to win a Grand Slam.
Wow.
So anyway, let's see.
Yeah, so do you think we'll see them hanging up the rackets anytime soon?
I think Federer probably more than the others. There was an article out this week, actually Novak putting down the challenge saying, I'm going for your record, so you better win as many as you can before you do retire. I'm only four behind you, Roger, and two behind you, Nadal. And 2018-16. I mean, that's what in terms of Grand Slams, that's where we're sitting.
They've won all of them.
Yeah, and Djokovic is saying he reckons he's got 6 years left in him.
6 years.
Six. Yeah. So he's pretty much saying, look, Federer is going to have to win all four in the coming season.
Yeah.
If this is his last year, or he's going to overtake.
I mean, he's saying that he could
putting
essentially win
on
24 Grand Slams if he went on a super roll for the next. Wow, that's quite something. 6 years. Okay, but you can do it. He can do it. He is very fresh, and you can see that he's only
31.
He's only 31 compared to the other two, and he looks more agile than both of them. You know, Federer and Nadal, a bit heavier tennis players. Djokovic just seems to glide across the court effortlessly. So
his physicality is always been his trump card. I mean, you know, Roger's always been around technique. Nadal's always been about the power and sort of that different way that he plays, that different, particularly his backhand is very different to everybody else. Mm. But it puts a lot of pressure on the body, and that's why he's 32, 33, but I think it's sort of really added up on him. So let's see how these youngsters go and see if Djokovic can keep the flag flying. And I wonder if Andy Murray might just sneak in back in and win one or two along the way. So it's going to be exciting for the next few years.
It would be good to see him come back to his best. Now, the World Anti-Doping Agency are looking to clamp down even further on doping than what they really have.
Yeah, so the big news in the last, 2 months or so has been Alberto Salazar.
Yeah.
Nike Oregon Project coach, we've spoken about that previously. What's happened now is that all these athletes are up for review and investigation. So the big one there is Mo Farah, so double Olympic gold medalist. Mm. He's just moved over to marathon distance, etc. He's always stated he's clean. He's never failed the drug test.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of media speculation. It does get a little bit ugly, sort of like, it's sort of become guilty until proven innocent. But with everything that's happened in sport over the last 10, 15, 20 years when it comes to doping, particularly from a cycling point of view, and maybe how that's spilled over into other sports, I suppose people have a right to be a little bit suspicious and I don't know what the word is, be overcritical when it comes to doping.
Especially if you're so good.
Yeah, and the other one is Gellin Rupp, who's also won medals at the last two Olympics in the distance events as well. So those are the two big athletes under Salazar's care, and we'll see how it goes.
It's been a sad week in boxing. A couple of deaths that have taken place. One, I believe, in the ring. The other one in training.
Yeah, that one was Dwight Ritchie. So he's 27 years old, died after training sessions. He was sparring with... when they spar, sometimes it's very relaxed and there's people that know. Sometimes they spar against another competitor, so someone who's preparing for fighting as well.
Yeah.
And did that, and no one really knows what happened as yet. I'm not sure if it was a cardiac issue or if it was something to do with his head. Obviously, when they spar, they do wear head protection, and they sort of save it for showtime in terms of taking blows to the head. But sadly, two boxes in a week. It's probably two too many. I think we've mentioned this before as well. Boxing, sometimes you wonder, but we look into all the sports, man. Boxing, NFL, football, rugby, concussion and issues with brain trauma, head trauma, cricket and the fast bowlers and the bouncers and all that kind of thing. There's so much out there. It just seems like the head's becoming, I think we're just becoming more aware of it. If you go back 20 years, it was, don't worry about it, you'll be fine. The brain sorts itself out. And what we're finding out now is that the brain is very, very sensitive and it doesn't heal as well as we think it does.
Yeah.
And sometimes these complications happen.
Very soft tissue, of course, is the brain. And I know that leads into your training tip, but I also want to ask you for a different training tip, because this week leads into the Discovery 947 Ride Joburg. So a lot of people will be trying, like myself, to get over that last hurdle to get themselves ready. They might be looking to do those longer rides, that 100K, just before the race on Sunday. So any tips regarding that?
Put your feet up. You got a week to go. Nothing you can do now. All you can do is charge the batteries. You're not going to make the engine any bigger by training. All you're going to do is exhaust yourself. I saw it today. You always see there was sort of 2 weeks before 94.7. You see lots of people on bikes, either on mountain bikes up and down the Spruit or all around Joburg. They're just riding, just trying to cram in. The 94.7 or any bike race or I suppose any event. It's not like an exam. You can't kind of study the night before, 4 hours, then rock up and ride it. It doesn't work like that.
So just put your feet up.
Too little, too late.
I wasn't at work on Friday, and as a result, because I was sick, suffering from a cold, and as a result, I missed crucial training days. I'm almost back 100%, but what do I do? Just let
don't worry
go.
About it. Those weren't crucial training days. It would have done nothing for you. Your body really wouldn't have developed any fitness at this stage. It's too late.
Okay.
So we typically would be in a tapering sort of stage right now. We're dropping your levels down anyway. So what you're trying to do is get to the start line with the battery, like your cell phone battery, 101%.
Don't do things
that leave you at 60% battery or 30% battery. Drop it right down. Do the minimum. Just keep your legs turning over. That's probably one tip, is don't stop training completely.
Yeah.
You need to keep training, but probably 30% of the load you would normally do, or even less, so real short stuff. And what you need to fill the fuel tanks. You need to eat, you need to drink good quality stuff, high quality fluids. Make sure you're getting electrolytes in. Make sure you're getting in high quality proteins and oils. No junk food. The good stuff that you can use on the race. And I think it's have a plan for the day.
Yeah.
Be aware what the conditions are going to be like.
Yeah.
Know what you're going to be doing in terms of drinking,
how
eating.
How often you're going to eat. Yeah.
And do things you've done before. Don't come with new things.
I've never done this before.
So just do it. What have you been doing in training? Go do it there. Okay. It's not that different. It's 94.7 kilometers. Might be a little bit hotter. It might be a little bit hillier. It'll hurt the next day, but just keep doing what you've been doing. Just go out there. You know, the man of the plan is the one who gets it done, you know? So just go out there and make sure you know what your plans are in terms of eating and drinking. That's the key thing. And your pace. Don't, first-time riders and first-time runners on events have this tendency to get sucked in.
Yeah.
You know, the adrenaline kicks in and you're up for the leaders for the first 10Ks or
30Ks. You don't want to be there.
And that's you're done.
You don't want to be there at all. Give us your trading tip of the week.
So maybe more on the sad side. So coming from those boxing deaths, I think just for everybody, maybe 94.7 here as well, just be aware of what you're getting yourself into. Mm. You know, all sports activities come with risks. Mm. Bicycles as well, there's a reason why we wear helmets and various forms of protection, because you do get head injuries, all kinds of issues. Mm. I think just in terms of what you are doing or what you want to start doing in terms of your health and fitness, sports, somebody in the family is playing or your kids are starting to play, be fully aware of all the risks involved and take the necessary precautions.
Zach Van Heerden, thank you so much for your time. Where do I get in touch with you?
info@exercisesolutions.co.za.
info@exercisesolutions.co.za. Thank you so much, Zach Van Heerden. Always a pleasure having you in studio.